transgressions of the law equally heinous? Some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others.
Question 83 in the Shorter Catechism. We see here again one of the valuable contributions that the Catechism makes. For those who are memorizing the Shorter Catechism, which I hope is all of you, I hope that all of our children are laying up these truths in their hearts, you can see in questions like the one before us how it aids us in spiritual discernment. So there's a tremendous amount of confusion theologically in this theologically anemic age all around us. And the Catechism is helping us here again make fine, carefully crafted, biblical distinctions. And this kind of spiritual discernment has really far-reaching practical implications. This is the kind of question that provides you with help in kind of perennial questions that continue to come up and up and up and up again. So people will say, look, all sin is the same. All sin is the same. All people are sinners. And therefore, you know, we're not able to hold one against the other. And so the question here is, are all sins equal? Are all sins equal? And the answer to that question stems from our definition of the word equal. There are further distinctions that have to be made with regards to the equality of sin in order to answer that a question. So let me first of all set kind of the background with a practical scenario to show you some of the relevance of why this doctrine is helpful to us. You've no doubt had conversations where perhaps some big issue in our society has come up. Let's say homosexuality or abortion, and you'll hear people say, well, listen, abortion is sin, homosexuality is sin, but after all, we sin as well. And so we sin just like they do. There's really no difference here. Who are we to stand, as it were, in judgment and say, well, this is terrible what these people are doing, when we're sinners as well? And so there's this objection. We can't really say that abortion or homosexuality is especially bad because all sins are equal and we've committed sin and we are sinners. And therefore, all sorts of distinctions are erased. This is something that if you haven't had come up, you will have come up over and over and over again. Everyone deserves to go to hell. There's no difference, and so on. And what the Catechism does for us here is it shows us an important doctrine in the Bible. It distinguishes the sinfulness of sin and the heinousness of sin. And this is very, very, very helpful for our spiritual discernment. If we start with, first of all, the sinfulness of sin, we can say, well, it's true that one sin and another sin and maybe a third or fourth or fifth or, you know, 50th type of sin, when you look at them in terms of their sinfulness, they are all equal. So they're equal. All sins are equal in terms of their sinfulness. What does that exactly mean? Well, if we think in terms of God's law, so if we think in terms of God himself in his holiness, God's law in its holiness, the judgment that God brings against sin because of that holiness, there is an equality. So if someone is engaged in abortion, that's obviously a wicked violation of God's law, the sixth commandment. But then you can say a person perhaps fudged the truth a little bit. And it's true that both of those are flagrantly defying God and His holiness. They're both violations of God's law, and both of those sins would warrant full judgment. So either of those sins would be equal in terms of requiring eternal punishment, someone going to hell. Either the fudging the truth or murdering someone, both would require the full judgment of hell. And so this helps us, I think, in saying a few things. For example, there's no little sin. So we can never say, well, a white lie is somehow less sinful than a flagrant violation of an oath or something. The smallest sin warrants hell. And maybe an illustration for the children would help. Whether you kill someone with a pencil or kill them with a rifle, in either case, it's both murder. They're both sinful. But now we come secondly, and this is where it becomes starts to get especially helpful, the heinousness of sin are not equal. All sins are not, clearly not, equally heinous. They are not all equally heinous. Now, there's something intuitive here. I mean, we have a sense that all sins are not equal in this sense. I mean, there's this gut reaction that people know, well, there is a difference between killing someone and thinking poorly of them, right? Category of thought, word, deed for a reason. And there is a distinction between our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. So let's just think through the heinousness of sin. We'll take the sixth commandment because it's relatively easy and straightforward. What would be a violation of the sixth commandment in our thoughts? Well, being angry. Maybe we're angry with our brother or sister, or we're angry with our neighbor. But then, what would be an example of violation of the sixth commandment with regards to our words? Well, we might shout at them. We might say very mean, hurtful, derogatory words against them. We might call them names, or we might say something that is especially hurtful. What would be a violation in terms of the deeds? Well, obvious one would be to kill them. And what we discover here is that while each of these are equally sinful, they are not equal in terms of heinousness. It is sinful to be angry, but it is more heinous to then curse them. And it would be even more heinous than cursing them to kill them. There are degrees of heinousness here. And therefore, to go from anger to cursing someone to killing them is increasing the level of heinousness. So there's a distinction here. And it has to be recognized. This is why, for example, think in terms of censure. In the church, a person may be angry in their thoughts with a brother, and that's sinful. They need to repent of it. They're not going to be disciplined in the church for that. But if they were to kill someone, then of course they would be. Think as well with regards to the civil magistrate. You know, being angry in your thoughts is sinful, but the magistrate doesn't have responsibility for your thoughts. However, if those thoughts lead eventually to killing someone, then the civil magistrate does have responsibility. They have the sword that they're to use to execute God's wrath and judgment in that case. And so the degrees of heinousness reflect the responsibility that parents, the church, and the state have in dealing with these sins. Now, there's something further here, I think, that we can bring out with regards to the heinousness of sin. And this comes out in places like the larger catechism in larger catechism 151. So if you have access to the larger catechism, I'd encourage you to look at that because it actually fleshes out what makes one sin more heinous than another sin. And it breaks down those distinctions. And let me give you kind of a brief summary. We can refer to this as the aggravations. What aggravations increase the heinousness of sin? What aggravates those sins? And the first thing that we can say is who, or the persons. Who? So, for example, a person's age, or a person's place, or a person's office can aggravate and increase the heinousness of sin. So a senior person who commits a certain sin, it would be even more heinous for them than, let's say, a child who does it. The same thing can be said with regards to a person's office. So for a minister or a magistrate, for example, to commit certain sins would make those sins more heinous because of the office that they occupy. We could also flip it and say the same thing with regards to who is sinned against. So we'll say, refer to that as the parties that are being sinned against. This is, again, a question of who. So certain sins are immediately against God himself. So, for example, in the third commandment, open blasphemy. So to openly blaspheme is not a sin against a person and also a sin against God, but it is a sin that is directly aimed at God himself without being mediated through something else. That increases the heinousness of the sin. The same thing could be said when we're speaking of people. So here we're dealing with who is sinned against. So who is it that we're sinning against? So think of superiors, inferiors, and equals. When there are sins that are against superiors, it can increase the heinousness of sin. So, you know, two young people, you know, a young person sins against another young person. If they did that same sin against someone who was superior to them, let's say an elder in the church or a magistrate, it would increase the heinousness of sin because of whom they're sinning against, you see. And you can say the same thing generally. You know, when you sin against the Lord's people, so let's say there is a corrupt government and they're persecuting part of their population using tyranny and so on. Very wicked, very sinful action on their part. But when they single out and seek to destroy God's people explicitly, they're increasing the heinousness of their sin. God says to touch his people is to touch the apple of his eye. You'll remember the words of Christ to Paul. He says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Well, Jesus is in heaven. How is he persecuting Christ? By touching Christ's body, his people. And it increases the heinousness of sin. Remember God saying to Abraham, "Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse." That's a promise that is extended to the church, to God's people. And it also speaks to the point that we're making here. A third area would be the nature of the offense, right? So the difference, you'll see the difference illustrated here. There could be, in the fourth commandment, a person is thinking about their work or recreation on the Lord's day. That's sinful. But if they are actually engaged in their weekly employment, that's not a work of necessity or mercy, it's an overt violation of the law. You know, or as we said in the
previous example, if they actually kill or take someone's life, it's an overt violation of the letter of the law, the nature of the offense. The fourth thing, briefly, would be circumstances. There are circumstances that can aggravate the heinousness of the sin as well. Things like the time or the place. So, you know, sins that are committed on the Sabbath day are double sins. Sins that are committed immediately after vows that are taken to God. Sins that happen right after God has explicitly told us something. To sin flagrantly against them immediately after the Lord has revealed that to us would be a problem. The place can also affect it. I mean, you know, sins in the public worship of God, we could multiply examples of this. But there are circumstances that can also aggravate. All of these aggravations contribute to the increase of the heinousness of sin. So you can see how, you know, are all sins equal? Well, it depends. Are we talking about the sinfulness of sin? Yes, they are equal. If we're talking about the heinousness of sin, the answer is no, they're not equal. And so as you face these sorts of discussions with people where they want to say nothing matters, you know, if a person is committing adultery, we can't say much to them because we're all sinners and we're all the same and there's no difference, they're muddle-headed in those kind of statements. And we need to be able to come in and say, no, the Bible teaches an important distinction here between sinfulness and heinousness of sin. So question number 83, are all transgressions of the law equally heinous? Some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others.